Call the Board of Supervisors for Wednesday, August 11th, to order at 8:50 on the clock, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held July 28th, 2021. Approve all claims through August 11th, 2021 in the amount of $647,265.25. Accept claim number 210-80096 to RL Thiemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $6,356.26 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving county office's inventory statements and place on file. Approve declaring as surplus black 2017 Dodge Charger with 135,167 miles, VIN number 2C3CDXKT7HH544881, and advertising it on Purple Wave Auction. Approve clerk of the district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of July 2021.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion on consent agenda? Please vote. 7 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 210-80096 to RL Thiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $6,356.26. This brings the total amount of claims through August 11, 2021 to $653,621.51. This is a company I'm involved with, and I believe it was for gravel and rock hauling.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Jurgens. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. We have some public. Welcome to everyone. No comment, though. On to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had just a few things. The sprinklers for the new lawn area over at the evidence building, Turf Paradise, came in at $3,100 for a 29-head system. So I told him to proceed with that. I did talk to Steve Kelly, and he said if we do put in a separate small meter just for the sprinkler system, then we wouldn't get charged for sewer usage whenever we use the water. And that, he estimated, would be about $350 to have that put in there. So I think that would be good to just have our own. That's how we do it at the courthouse. It's on its separate meter. Detention center is still all on the same meter, I know. So you do get charged for sewer usage also with the sprinkler. So so anyway, that looks like it's moving along. Looks nice over there. And we had Joe Blackburn and Ron Floor from Diode come down and just look at the boardroom to see what it would take to get streaming in here. So I asked for if they could have a proposal ready for us in 2 weeks. So they're working on that. And that would be for the boardroom and also a county court. They are set up for WebEx, but our existing sound system has a echoey and delay in sound, so they're going to look into that also. And specifications for the ramp, I still don't have those yet. I need to really get going and move forward to have that ready so we can bid out a new ramp. We have the boiler, and it's set up for hot water heat to go outside. We just need to have the concrete replaced with the tubing installed in the concrete. So that's about all I had.
Are you hoping for pre-winter?
Yeah, I am. That'll be here before we know it.
Anything for Mr. Jones?
Did you talk to anybody on the screening station? They thought they smelled something hot on the elevators.
Yeah, okay. I didn't talk to them. I went in there and I didn't. I went down to the elevator room. I told him Davison brought up a hot pocket, probably. I didn't notice anything. So.
We can't get flooded in our elevator, though, right? Like they show
I sure people. Hope not. No, yeah. No, if we do, we're in big trouble because we're about on the highest part of town. And sometimes I'll say, when the humidity's high, sometimes that elevator pit will bring up a smell. But I didn't notice it this morning, so.
I thought it was incredible that you take an elevator down the basement to see if it's flooded.
Yeah.
Different ideas. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization.
Looks like water.
Everything's equal.
Yeah. Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items, Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $31,649.93. Cather and Sons Asphalt, $11,512.80. Midwest Service and Sales, Culberts and Lumber, $50,407.44. Out of the County Building Fund, Masonry Construction Incorporated, Course House Exterior Restoration, Phases 8 and 9, $66,313.
We also looked at three patrol cars. Looks like Gus has found three of them now, so we'll be working that into the budget as well. Human resources, employee relations.
He found cars?
He found cars, or he found someone that found cars. Two regulars and a hybrid. I don't know what the hybrid means yet, but I'm curious, or you know, how exactly this one works. Not really anything, just ongoing day-to-day stuff with human resources. Probably like to schedule something down at the highway department. Mark, if you let me know when you're going to be meeting, or you and Galen, when you'll be meeting with each of the different crews. I didn't make it down there the other day. We had civility training on Monday at 7, and I was loading trucks at that time. So I apologize for not being there, but we'll try to meet with each of the crews, and then maybe Terry and I can run down there and just meet with the department as a whole again and just give them a chance to ask questions. There's some misconceptions down there as far as board getting raises and shop not getting raises and things like that. So it's common. They don't understand how the things work. We can answer some questions that'll alleviate some of that, and then just day-to-day things. But we'll try to do that probably quarterly, where at least one of us comes down and just goes over stuff, if nothing else, just to be a face there. And I'm going to try to also, after talking to the civility trainer, I'm going to try to just start popping in once in a while. It sounds like that'd be a good idea to just do a run through occasionally, and it can't hurt, I guess. I just don't want you guys thinking we're looking over your shoulder. That's why we'd be popping in there.
You need to look over their shoulder, though.
Law enforcement, emergency management. We have no law enforcement or emergency management present.
Looks like we're good.
Yeah.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Jurgens.
Okay. In September, Galen's crews will begin regular inspections on 155 structures. The 33.9 miles of straight paint striping is done. Several townships have switched their allocations to rock. Emily asked about what it would take to straighten the Claytonia Bridge out. Engineer is working on what would be required. Mr. Schuler asked about where we were on bridge ratings for fire service vehicles. Had also some estimates on dust control and asked about lowering speed limit by Virginia. And the county had traffic counts put on the Liberty Road 2-3 weeks ago. So, and I think in the Monday, I asked Galen to put traffic counters on the Philly Adams Blacktop Road and the Odell Road. And I think those are in place now.
They are on Odell. When we get Odell done, we'll move
okay.
To
okay. All right.
I will state that there's occasionally rumors that when there's a traffic counter on the Odell Road, there's a beat-up gray pickup that keeps on driving back and forth over it.
I've noticed that when I've been down that way, too.
It's got a really heavy-duty front bumper to replace the formerly destroyed
one. I thought it was just me when I saw it. I, you know.
It's weird. What a weird place to turn around again anyway. Up next, Kristen Jensen, our tourism coordinator, to present the quarterly report for Gage County Tourism. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I brought documents for you guys.
Documents? Oh, wow.
Thank you. All right. All right. I guess I'll wait for you.
Only one.
Hey, Eric.
Yes, sir.
Pass that sheet down to the other supervisor before that.
Great.
Roger was giving it to me, and I didn't know if you were storing
well, you
it
were,
or...
No, you were reading, and I didn't want to...
I didn't want to take it if you wanted to keep it.
Hey, Don, you want to pass that sheet to the other three over there?
Here you go.
We're ready. Rock
and roll. All right. So my tourism report's there on the top. It looks a little short, but we've had some events going on. So we've been pretty busy with some certain tasks. So we had Homestead Days this quarter, which was awesome. We had a lot of attendance. Our events were all pretty successful. A few of the things that I worked on myself was the car show. So this year we had 130 cars, which is pretty much like the most we've had that we know of in the past. I know last year at Homestead Fest we had 80. So this year we ran out of trophies and we had to order some more because there was just so many cars. So that was good. We also had our horseshoe tournament that had a good turnout. Our parade had 83 floats and there was a ton of people there. So that was really good. Arts in the Park, this was our first year doing the color run, and we had 50 runners, which was, we were pretty impressed with that, and that was a huge hit, so we'll be looking forward to doing that again next year. We also had our outdoor movie, car selfies, cruise night. Fireworks got canceled because of rain, so we had to redo those later on, but that was good. We had a family swim and our bicycle ride, so yes, we heard from a lot of people that it was the best Homestead Days they attended, so that was really exciting, and really rewarding to hear. So after that all wrapped up, we had our Ag Barbecue where we got to serve 1,800 meals to agriculture workers in the area. So that was a pretty big endeavor, but that was successful as well, and we had a lot
fantastic.
Of fun.
It was fantastic.
I saw you there. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Great. We also had our road rally earlier in the quarter. That was a new thing we did this year, but we're hoping to grow that in the future. It was relatively small, but we heard good things from the people that did come. So we're also working on website development for our website. We've been working on that throughout the year, but we've started from scratch, so that's been a pretty tedious process because we basically had to redo everything, including content. So that's coming along. Hopefully by the end of summer, that'll be up and ready to go. Map and guide distribution we're always doing. We've also started the holiday lighted parade planning and getting that stuff ready. So that will be December 4th at 5:30. Another event is Trail of Treasures. That's coming up. I've been taking on a bit more of that this year, October 1st through the 3rd, as well as some marketing with Byway 136. Syntec, Southeast Nebraska Tourism Council, we just got brand new guides from them that feature Gage County and have a lot of information about Homestead and some of our attractions. So we've been distributing those as well. And then the passport program ends September 30th. So we've done some marketing with Clean Slate Soap, who is on there. So yeah, that's been exciting. I know they've had a really good turnout, and that's brought a lot of people through. They've been passing out tons of guides and maps. We've been bringing them some like every week because of the people that have been coming through. So that's really helped. But yeah, so on the next page is our income. So we're a little bit down since this time last year, but I know we have a few more checks to come through. So hopefully that will be up a little bit. I know we're down 5%, but looking forward to that increase as the checks come in for the last few months. So We're at right now $57,915.88 for that year. So then on this page, I included a list of our Visitor Improvement Fund grant requests. So just everything we've done. I believe this is since 2007. But as of right now, our available balance is $54,812.50. We have some outstanding things that have been working on. But we just turned in reimbursement for Johnson, or no, the bathroom in Wymore. So, and then our marketing grant for Gage County Tourism from last year. So, yeah. And then on the back page, that is our budget for the year. I included for you guys to look over, and if you had any questions, Angie's here, and she can probably answer those for you.
Nice pass off.
Yeah. She knows way more about it than I do, so. Yeah.
I don't believe that at all.
No. She's a very smart lady. She knows all the things, so.
You do a good job.
But thank you.
That's something we had talked about as we're budgeting things. Don may reach out to you just to see what do we have. Oh, sorry, Don. What do we have for outstanding grants? As we look at that, there's some projects that the board's approved and the tourism committee's approved. We don't actually have record, we found out, of what.
Well, we have what we show we haven't paid out. We just want to make sure
we don't know which ones are real projects yet.
Okay, yeah, I'll get with you. We can.
Doing grants.
Yeah.
That money is still out.
Okay, we can get that all sorted out.
As long as we are on the same page with the dollars, we'll be okay.
Okay.
Just so we don't award money we don't have.
Perfect. All right.
We're sure you guys will reduce your budget.
they run pretty lean, too.
I'm being funny.
Gary?
Angie, that's $54,000. That's about the lowest that's been for quite a while, isn't it? Since maybe you were here.
We'll have to check and get our line, because the new fiscal year changed, so it might be more than that. After we compare notes with Don to make sure which ones are outstanding versus which ones, you know.
But I mean, as far as awarding grants and that, the money's getting out into the community.
Yes,
and
which is the goal behind it with the lodging tax. We want those dollars to get back out into the community to build up the attractions that we have that we can continue to bring more visitors in.
For a while there, we were at about $200,000 that was, and there was no projects coming in.
Right. So it's good to see projects happening.
Yep.
One of the projects that was just awarded here in the recent past was the boat ramp, and I see Lotman excavating and started that this week. So there's dirt work going on, and one step closer.
Very exciting for that kayak access to get put in, or river access, I guess.
River
we aren't limiting to just kayaks.
Well, I'm so happy we have such a positive group of people who are working on the city of Beatrice now. And congratulations. You guys do great.
Do you have any plans already for the other accesses or anything that would be peripheral to that river access in the works yet? Or
I don't know if they're officially in the works yet. I know that there's talks about wanting more river access points, but where they're at on project status, I couldn't speak to that right today.
Well, that's okay, though. I mean, you have to start somewhere, and I really think this is going to be a positive draw.
There's a huge tourist attraction right now is river access and kayaking and canoeing and things like that. So you'll see more of those popping up. So it's good that we're on the front end of getting that access together. I know the Y has done a couple different events that they've had great number of turnouts with people getting on that river. And that means when they're coming to town, they're using our gas stations and stopping at restaurants and stopping in our stores and also on their way out of town. So it's a win-win for us.
And the city just put a nice railing system over on the Westcourt Bridge too, which looks a lot cleaner and nicer than what was there previously.
Yes. When I was a kid, we used to go down that road and we could go all the way around the memorial thing, and we would sneak in and swim in the river there by the bridge. Yes, that's been a couple of years ago.
I grew up swimming in central Nebraska in the rivers, and there's sandy bottoms there, so we don't swim in the rivers here so much at this point, but good memories.
Yeah, we weren't supposed to do that, but we did it anyway.
We won't tell anybody that you did.
Okay, good. Keep it a secret.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all you do. You guys are wonderful.
Ask for a motion to place that report on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle, second by
Second.
Byers. please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Mr. Root is not here to give a pictometry presentation yet. We'll skip ahead to receive recommendations from planning and zoning on wind regulations and set up a public hearing for the Board of Supervisors. I believe we have Representative Monty Merkel here from the planning and zoning to give us a run through here.
Yeah, do you want me to state my name and address and such, or is
Please, for the record, yeah.
Monty Merkel, 7001 West Aspen Road, Claytonia, Nebraska.
Thanks, Monty.
And as the chairman said, I'm here on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So before I hand out the our recommendation for the changes to the planning and zoning, I thought we'd maybe run through a timeline that we've been through the last year. I read it at the hearing that we had, and I think it's probably worth mentioning here. Starting July of 2020, the commission held a public hearing and voted to recommend to the County Board of Supervisors a text amendment to the regulations. The commission did not meet regularly through 2020 due to the pandemic, as we all know. So then we come up to September. The County Board of Supervisors voted to have the Planning and Zoning Commission review, make some changes to 3 or 4 parts in the regulations so that the regulations would be consistent. This basically was considered housekeeping. But this request was officially brought to the commission in January of 2021. And in January, the commission reviewed in depth the entire portion of the regulations that pertain to wind conversion systems. February, March, and April, the commission listened to comments from the public that addressed 3 or 4 pages of concerns and had discussions on each of those meetings. In May, the commission held a hearing for a separate project that took place down in the south part of the county. And was also given a written request from the County Board of Supervisors to discuss and make a recommendation dealing with the Kansas-Nebraska Heritage Area Plan. And because of the previous 3 meetings taken 4 hours plus, we decided not to have wind on our May agenda. In June, the commission had what we thought was 2 items left to discuss. During public comment, we heard from Chairman Thiemann encouraging us to finalize the review. Following that, we again listened to more concerns and input from the public. And then during the June meeting, the commission wrapped up its discussion about the wind regulations. Motion was made, second, and passed to hold a public hearing July 22nd. July 22nd, we had that hearing and voted on the changes that I'm going to give you today. We decided, because it was at the end of the night, we wanted to wait until August meeting to be able to review those changes to make sure everything went in the way we thought it should. We had that meeting last night, and a few clerical errors that we corrected, and then there was 2 other things within the regulations that we had changed as of last night, and now I have the document that you've been so patiently waiting for. So I'll hand them out. Each one, you can have one. I would encourage you to read through them. Just because we read through them doesn't mean there isn't still a clerical error here or there. But so if you look, the original regulations are in black. The blue highlighted are the changes we made. Anything in red that has been stricken from the regulations. I never actually counted how many pages these are, but we'll say several. There's a fair amount that got added, some that got stricken for clarification reasons, for redundancy reasons. Now that you have that, I guess, you know, the Board of, or the Commission, Planning and Zoning Commission, presents this to the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Present it for you guys for consideration to have the hearing and such. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you got maybe a tentative date set for the hearing for your board.
Yeah, we will try to set one here today. Really appreciate you going through these. The P&Z has gone I mean, really gone through all this with a fine-tooth comb. There were some items we asked you to look at, and then you guys really went through all the regulations an additional time and talked about all kinds of topics that, you know, sometimes that conversation just spurs additional conversation, right. And we appreciate you getting these to us. Are there any questions for Monty? I mean, I'd ask you guys to review these prior to our public hearing if we set one, and then continue to review them, because there may be, like he said, any changes that you see or things that pop up that come to mind as you guys read these also.
And the commission, too, is available. You know, if you're reading through something sometime and you question what this is or why is this or whatever, I think the commission's more than happy to try to give you an answer. You know, give us a call or whatever.
Let's see here. We have August 25th, 2021, figured, which would be 2 weeks from today, for a public hearing. We talked about moving that later in the day. It's really up to the board if you guys want to move that to afternoon, if we want to have a regular meeting in the morning.
We do have another hearing that we're asking for recommendation to, ag. So if we can have that same hearing for Preston Oatman, which was approved last night on a special use permit.
If we want to do that in the morning, Don has this roughly the special use for the building at 9:15. The next one, which would be the public hearing for the wind regulations at 9:30.
On the 25th?
On the 25th. Ms. Axby?
I think that's hard for those speakers to get here. I don't know if we could compromise and maybe have the meeting in the afternoon or at least,
recess.
Recess until the evening for those people, because I know there's a lot of how many speakers did they have that night
at our hearing?
Yeah,
I'd say there was 20, because I think we had 18 documents given to us that night. Did not provide a document, which I didn't mention in the timeline, but then we went through several of those documents,
and there were hundreds of pages of documents you guys received throughout this process, too. It's not like a small packet.
Yeah. Question, I guess, on what kind of time frame do you have to have for public notice in order to
get it in the paper today, it sent to them, so we have time to advertise either that or we need to push it back.
I mean, obviously, I know you guys know how to take care of that, but that's in 2 weeks.
Mr. Lytle?
Yeah, I understand what Emily's saying, but just because there's sheer volume doesn't mean that we change what we do, because you know, for every special use permit, you're going to change the time for these speakers. But any other special use permit, did we change the time for them? I mean, any other speaker that had a tough time getting here at 9 o'clock in the morning, are we going to start doing all special use permits in the afternoon? I mean, I don't think that's a smart decision.
I think we serve the public and not the other way around. It's not the public serving us. And it's a public hearing, and we should make it accessible to as much of the public as we can. And this is a large number of people. Smaller amount, Gary, I agree, but with Zoom meetings, maybe, you know, I mean, there's different accommodations for certain situations, and I think this one is a controversial issue that is more people are interested in, and that we should give as many people the opportunity to attend as we can. That's my opinion.
I think what before we August 25th looks like this will work as long as we set this today. I guess I would ask for a motion to set a time. Right now, the special use permit 36-66 for the ag building, roughly scheduled for 9:15, and the wind turbines hearing, the turbines hearing regulations is tentatively set for 9:30. We just need a motion for a time and a time for the events.
Just to see if it would, how we do on this, but I'd like to move to have the special use one at 9:15, and then the wind hearing, let's call it, at 6 p.m.
So you're like a talking recess. Having the regular board meeting at the normal time,
yep.
And recess,
yep.
Till later is what you're,
yep.
What you're saying. Okay. Now, do you have a time
motion?
For the
yes.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Haxby and a second by Shuler to have the ag building hearing at 9:15 and the wind hearing at 6.
Board meeting.
Everything else would stay the same. There would just be...
But the date on there.
August 25th. It would just be a recess and then reconvene at 6 o'clock for the public hearing. And again, here I would suggest we don't vote on either of these for 2 weeks just because that's been precedent. The ag building, I don't see there being any opposition to probably, but that's still been.
So we'll vote 2 weeks from the day of the hearing?
We could vote 2 weeks after, I mean, if the board's ready to do that. Any discussion on this motion?
Regular time for board meeting.
Regular recess. Time for board meeting. Recess until 6 o'clock and then reconvene.
The public hearing of the wind regs.
No discussion. I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor with Lytle voting nay. Motion carries. So we will have the public hearing at 9:15 for the Ag Building. We'll have a regular meeting that morning on August 25th. We will reconvene at 6 o'clock. I have to say I kind of agree with Gary on this one. We've done this for these wind regs before, but I don't think we want to start making a habit of this because somebody always has a hard time getting in. We're not really setting a good precedent here. But we have done this on this one. There was more. This is the most volume I ever remember with any issue that we've dealt with. Mr. Lytle?
I remember the same argument as far as doing night meetings. And that was the reason we didn't do night meetings was because if it's important to them, they should show up in the morning. So maybe it'd be a good time to start discussing night meetings overall again. I'd like to have that on the agenda moving forward.
Okay, well, let's put that on the agenda here either on the 25th or the following meeting for discussion for evening meetings. We are looking at a substantial investment potentially in streaming equipment so that we can stream so people have more ready access to our meetings, but we aren't there yet.
Mr. Merkel? Yeah, one question, maybe it's a comment. Chairman Argo didn't get to sign a paper officially for these regulations because we just did it last night. I think Lisa probably through the night made all the corrections, but we'll get that to the board.
Great. We appreciate you bringing it to us and getting it to us as quickly as you have. Thanks a lot, Monty. Thank you. Please tell the rest of the P&Z board thank you, too. You guys have put an enormous amount of time into this. Thank you, Lisa. All right. Up next, discussion on the county budget for 21-22. We have talked about this a little bit. Terry went over our changes here. We don't have substantial changes to our budget. The last couple of years, I can easily tell you, we will have a tax asking levy at 50 mils. It's flat. We know what that is. So now it's just where we work within. Before, That was something we worked towards, and it was always a question, where are we going to be at the end? Now we know that number. It's just the other numbers that we work on. Patty said it looks like we're going to have a slight uptick in valuation this year, which is great. After seeing it go the wrong way, $100 million over 2 years, that makes it more difficult. But do you have anything you'd like to put out there for budget stuff? Adds, subtracts, projects, anything that you can see that you'd like to talk about in our meeting, Mr. Juergens?
Well, I just think that our overall, we have to continue what we've done in the past and held everything just as tight, as low as we can. And that paper, that it shows that. You know, there's been some upticks for reasons. But overall county spending, you know, has remained, I better not say flat, but even. Shall we say that?
Less than 1% over the last 10 years. It's over. Take out the 46% for the Beatrice 6 bump there, and it's when you add the numbers all up, it's less than 1% a year average. Yep.
That doesn't get much flatter, and I'm guessing that's not common. I don't have other counties' numbers, but...
Well, I mean, if you look at the increases we've had in, you know, wages every year, materials, asphaltic materials, gravel, rock, everything else, the cost of everything else, I mean, I think that's outstanding, really.
And at 1%, that's something we talk about just through inflation. Inflation's been... 2+ this year, we're looking at close to 7. So, I mean, overall, we're, you know, if you take out the cost of inflation, those dollars have less power than they did 10 years ago. We are really going backwards on overall tax asking, but we're still maintaining all services. We're still taking care of employees. We're being very thrifty. It's this fan thing. Gary was giving you the eye. If you guys come up with anything for the budget, any adds, subtracts, things you want to look at, we'll have a slight addition as we've asked the sheriff to put some cars in. We have some cars that are, these are not just frivolous adds. These are, I mean, Gary was going through these. We've got 100 and a half thousand mile vehicles, which are not the same as running down the highway for 100 and a half. These are used differently, and even more so than that, Gary started going through expenses on these vehicles at certain milestones. We are at that milestone where we've seen big expenses where we can dump $8,000 into a $5,000 car and have a $5,000 car. You know, you always need to look at that, too. When are we going to be dumping in extra money and get zero return back for it? So I think he looked through these in a very logical manner, and over the long haul, I think this is a way to save some money, too.
Eric, just a short comment here. The other thing I'm kind of looking at right now is how many units we have, and if you're figuring somewhere around 25,000 miles a year on them, what numbers can we look at doing for a rotating, you know, rotating stock and doing it at different milestones? Hopefully, you know, here within a month, I should be able to put something together that, you know, if you're doing it at 70,000, what's your return coming back on the vehicle? You know, if you wait till 100,000, 125,000, where's the sweet spot that we want to try and hit? And not add the extra expenses, but yet be able to maybe get some return on the vehicle, keep it in a spot where maybe we're not in the shop as much, you know, keeping the cars on the road, keeping them a little bit younger, a little bit fewer miles, keeping them on the road. We'll see what we come up with.
Because the Band-Aid between was we didn't buy vehicles. We just put a freeze on it for a while, and then we supplemented with used vehicles, some of those with 70 plus thousand miles just to get us by, and it worked. It was just a pause so we could figure out what was going on, but now we still need to update those over time.
And Eric, we are in better shape than we have been. I mean, you know, in the past, Doug can attest, we've We've had a lot of old equipment with Band-Aids on them, and you know, now we're in a spot where maybe we can look at finding some type of a rotational program. I can just tell you, though, if you got 10 units that you're using a lot on the road and you're only replacing two a year and you're putting 25, 30,000 miles a year, you're looking at, you know, if you're only doing two a year, that's a five-year program. You're looking at 150,000 you're running on all these vehicles, and that gets to be kind of an expensive shop life.
There's some deputy sharing vehicles now, too, which will double that usage in a single year.
So all things we're trying to consider and get it all put together. So see what we come up with.
But anything for budget, we're getting closer now. So we'll have a number for you guys for you guys and Ms. Haxby. Sorry, I always say for you guys. But with we'll have a number that is kind of a comparable. I mean, you don't see the nuts and bolts of it. We can go through that, too. But when we bring stuff together, we'll get that number that you want to see here, too, Terry, that says here's what we're looking at as a overall increase. And that may be the best gauge on everything. But we are asking everybody to stay very, very flat on things. There's no more discussion on that. Mr. Roots here. If you are ready, Patty, do you want to give an introduction on?
He needs to set up the screen in his projector real quick. Do you guys have anything else to finish?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Eddie can probably go to the bathroom.
No. We could take a 5-minute recess at 9:31 on the clock while they set up.
I try to be.
He's probably not used to antiquated old equipment like this.
Mm-hmm. We will reconvene at 9:43 on the clock, and we'll turn it over to Ryan Putz to give us an overview and a presentation on pictometry on this highly advanced multimedia equipment.
No, other than this is something that we had back in 2016. And so
Patty, Mike.
Oh, Patty, can you come up?
Oh, sure.
Thanks, Gary. Usually Denny jumps in on that.
That's right.
You want me to identify myself?
If you could give your name, and then Ryan, we'll have to have you do the same thing when you start.
Patty Milligan, Gage County Assessor. 816 West E. Wymore.
I'm sorry,
did you do this in protest? No. Do you want to swear me in?
No.
Okay, so this is something that we had back in 2016. I think that's when it was, Ryan, right? It was pictometry. Beatrice had done their parcels, and then Ryan had contacted me, and we did the outer part of Gage County, so we shared those costs. Of course, with everything, that was a 3-year process, so I paid for it over a 3-year period in my budget. Sheriff could use it. Lots of people could use it. Going forward, I'm assuming there's a lot more things maybe different now. It was a really good tool for me. At that point, though, from the Department of Revenue standpoint with my property assessment division, we could not use it as the 1 in 6 year plan because we did not fly it, what's the right terminology, low enough for, I don't know what, you know,
resolution-wise.
We, you know, the lower you fly, the more the expense is. Now that has changed, and so the 1 in 6 year plan, I physically have to touch every parcel in the 1 in 6 year plan. We have a 1 in 3 year plan too, but the 6 year plan, so now I'll be, you know, in the county, and they will accept this as the looking at the properties and so forth.
When you say touch, just so the public knows what that means, you have to physically be on each property, either walk on or be there on each property.
Take pictures, review my property record card, and see now that everything, like, is there a new deck? Is there a new, you know, new porch? Whatever. Now this is one thing that they've approved. And the 2016, we will use that one, and I will do a change finder now. And that change finder from 2016 to 2021 will let me know what has changed, what has been added to that property. So that's going to be a good tool. I backed it out of my budget because of the situation we were in, was it 3 years ago? that's already been, I think, three. Yep. So we backed it out of my budget. Now, with Lisa on board, too, she's going to be, and she can tell you what she uses it for, but we've done a lot of talking and, you know, got involved with Ryan again, and I think, you know, we'll see what Beatrice is going to do. We've been in contact with them. But, you know, my plan was to hopefully get it back. The counties of Fairbury Jefferson uses it. Let's see, Saline, Lancaster, almost all the counties around here except maybe Pawnee. So I think that some of you have seen it, like Terry. It'd be the new board members that have not. So we brought Ryan down today, and it's a good tool for a lot of things. Sheriff's offices can use it. Lisa can use it. So,
Patty, it's also usable for the roads department, too.
Absolutely.
For certain, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the public on the website.
And the public on the website. So, and this is just something that was there in my budget. So when you see it in my budget now, you know, if we do this, it's because it was there, but we pulled it out because of the situation we were in a few years ago.
Roads department is not going to pay you anything.
It's county money. I mean, I'm not, as long as you can explain it, but that's what's, when you see my, and I don't mean it that way, but I'm not a big, like, okay, you got to put this much in here and here and here, because it's what it is, and it's like, if you guys want to divide it up, that's fine.
I asked the mayor about this yesterday to see if Beatrice was going to use it, and he asked me what pictometry was, and I said, it's the flyover that you guys had before. Yeah. So, oh.
Well,
so he wrote it down. He was going to check. It must go through either Doug or...
It does.
Or,
it does. Doug,
okay.
And James Burroughs.
Okay.
I'm talking with, I believe, is the city engineer. Yep. And then Tobias is the city admin. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa... Wait,
real quick, I'm going to go meet with him after I'm done here. So.
Lisa can explain, too. I mean, if you want to. I mean, sure. I think you've talked to Eric and stuff before. But.
Thanks, Patty. Mm-hmm. Lisa, could you give us your name,
sure,
too, just in case?
Sure. Lisa Wigand, Gage County Zoning Administrator. So when this first came up and the ARP funds were a possibility coming to our county, which they have, I found incentive to really ask for possible funding to utilize some of those funds for that. I know it's undetermined yet if ARP funding can be used for that. However, this is a new service. It's not something that the county has had for quite some time, so that's what my hopes were, certainly understanding the limited budget that you have, you know, with the six. But as far as for a zoning purpose, we would actually use the structure overlays and be able to do measurements from that particular structure. We need to update our maps within our book, so this is a way that we'll be able to utilize the service and that mapping system. So at some point in time, we'd have that. Maybe not as much of an expense, but the map overlays have to be done. And then on a planning purpose, yesterday I participated in the leaders exercise, which is livestock emergency planning. You know, some of you ask about Google Earth. I pulled up four structures on Google Earth that are not their older images, so I would not be able to utilize the information off of Google Earth for looking at structures specifically and seeing what can and can't be done. So it does save time, you know, going to that particular facility. And the other thing is that when you're looking at, we've had that conversation on high hazard structures for dams and bridges and things like that for the roads and so forth, I'm sure that they will utilize that information too. So.
Slightly different note, but can we make sure we get the latest floodplain maps put onto the site too, and then we can overlay those if we get this pictometry or on our regular GIS, but just make sure that
GIS,
we do go forward.
Yeah, that stuff is, I mean, I'm certainly not from GeoWorks, but that stuff is readily available from FEMA, I believe, provides it.
We have a new one going on right now, I guess.
We have a new one so we're always cross-referencing everything, so it'd be handy, you know, to instigate the whole system at the same time. So.
Perfect.
Either one. They'll both catch you.
Okay. Nice to meet you. My name is Ryan Poots. I'm with Eagle View, district manager from Omaha. I appreciate the time. I know I've met a few of you. I'm not going to go a long time here. I'm not going to kill you with PowerPoint. But I did want to kind of re-engage with you guys. From the 2016 project, the intention was to get this second project done. Obviously, you guys had some extenuating circumstances to deal with. So I want to give you a quick overview of the technology. If you have questions, please ask. I know this is a public forum. It's a little bit different. But my first comment is everybody in the counties can use this. There is no additional cost for any additional departments to utilize this technology. So everything you see can be utilized both in the cities and the counties, including this room as well. So we are not a GIS firm. We're an imagery firm that fits into your GIS, your website. So we're not replacing anybody. I don't want to give that impression. I come from the GIS world, but we're not a GIS firm. We are an aerial imaging firm. This type of image that you see on your screen is what we call an ortho image or a rooftop perspective image, which you see on Google. You see on a lot of mapping applications. This is imagery that we captured. But we also capture different imagery as well, three-dimensional imagery. So, for example, this picture, you can probably, if you look at it for a while, you can glean what it might be or what the structure is. But we also capture this, what we call three-dimensional imagery. So it's called an oblique image. First thing is I want to tell you guys, we're not reading license plates. We're not peeking in the windows. The resolution isn't near that good. Maybe folks at the federal level are doing that stuff, but we're certainly not. All this is a public safety tool and an assessment tool at its core, and I just want to show you a few things. So what we did in 2016 and what we would do in 2022 is capture the entire county in both two-dimensional and three-dimensional imagery. For mapping purposes, the rooftop image is what's typically used from Patty's seat or the sheriff's seat. They're obviously more interested in what's around the structure, egress, ingress, fences, things of that nature when they're responding to calls. So to give you an example, this is what you would get this, but in addition to that, you'd also get all four cardinal directions of that structure. In this case, it happens to be Mount Rushmore. So a lot of times when you're looking at a two-dimensional image, you can sort of maybe pick out what things are, but we're not two-dimensional creatures. We're three-dimensional creatures. So this gives you a better idea of what's out there. It's not real complicated. There's a lot of math involved, but ultimately, and I've got my sound on, but ultimately, the planes capture multiple images at one time. Clearly, they don't stop in midair, but they capture a lot of overlap, and that's how we capture both that ortho and those oblique images. So you guys know this is what they look like. It's pretty plain Jane. These are just Cessnas. We also have some Piper Aztecs in the fleet, but these are not fancy machines. These are really, really workhorses that are good at mowing the sky down. So if you see this flying over next spring and you see this really long, I don't know if you guys can see it from back there, but we've got this long tube back here. This is actually where the exhaust goes. Usually the exhaust is expelled out here, but the cameras are in the belly of the plane, and so we expel the exhaust past the cameras so it doesn't get into in the way. So if you see something like that flying over, you're probably getting your picture taken, so look up and do your worst or whatever. We are moving to a new capture system. This is kind of fun. This is sort of what we call the prom picture. This is a Piper Aztec twin engine, and the cameras are actually now moving below the fuselage and not actually in the camera itself or in the plane itself, but this is kind of a cute, cool photo to look at. You guys mentioned Google. Maybe you've also heard of NAEP imagery. This is free imagery. So this is the National Agricultural Imagery Program that the feds fly every year or every 2 years. So I just want to give you an example of the resolution. So this is about 2 meter or 1 meter resolution. All that means is that every pixel on the screen is 1 meter by 1 meter. This is a 3-inch image over here of like what we would capture over Beatrice. So again, you see the differences in resolution. It becomes really evident. The NAEP program captures it during the summer because they want to get a look at the agricultural footprint and the health of the agricultural industry every year. Well, we capture ours with leaves off. These are prettier pictures, obviously, but they don't have much use if you can't see underneath the canopy. So again, it's the timing of it as well as the resolution of it that's the difference, the main difference. One's free and one's not, as you might expect. Free in quotes, I guess. So I just wanted really quick, we're capture for a lot of counties. This is not new technology. This is well-vetted technology. You guys are our leaders of the county. I think it's important for you guys to know that there are disaster clauses in your contract. If one of five disasters strikes Gage County, hopefully it doesn't, that we'll come back and fly at no cost for you guys. hurricanes and tsunamis are in there. I always joke, shouldn't joke, but if we have one of those, we probably got bigger problems. We'll come and capture it for you, but you know we've got bigger problems. The big ones, the tornadoes, obviously around here. For a free capture, we're talking that EF4 or EF5. Anything else, you know, flooding isn't in there. EF2 tornadoes. Usually, there's a small cost generated with those kinds of disasters. But I think it's important that you guys know that that is in there as well. Hopefully, you never have to use it. Obviously. This is from the Wayne tornado a few years ago, if you guys remember that one. The imagery was captured, or the tornado happened in October, and we're just kind of, you know, it's about mitigation at that point, right? We're able to get into the air within a matter of hours or days, depending on the airspace. Obviously, if something like the president were to come in, we can't get in the airspace, but we'll get into the airspace as soon as we can. So in this case, the tornado happened on October 5th, and the imagery was captured on October 9th in this case. This is a FedEx building of. So here's our current customers. I know Patty mentioned the southeast corner of Nebraska. If it's in blue, it's a customer of ours. What I want to share with you guys, as a customer, you also get any adjacent libraries to you at no additional cost for mutual aid purposes. So Gage County can see Lancaster, Saline, Jefferson, and quite honestly, any other county that you might need. There are certainly larger SWAT team. If you need more imagery, we can obviously give it to you guys. We just open it up to the adjacent ones. So if when you're in our tech, in our software, you can see all adjacent libraries as well. So, and they're mostly up to date. Jefferson will get imagery next year. Saline will get imagery next year. Seward got imagery this year. Lancaster will get imagery next year. So you'll have all updated imagery around your borders as well. So that's at no cost. We do think it's important to integrate into your workflows without creating new workflows. So obviously G-Works is the main driver here. TerraScan from the assessing office can consume the images as well. I don't know who you work from a 911 standpoint, if you're Geocom or who you are. I want to make sure that we get this into dispatch if they want it. All those things are available as well, including ArcGIS, which is your GIS software. Okay. Very important for you guys to know that everyone here in the county can use this at no additional cost, right? So if Patty's office is using it, but she's the only one, then that's kind of defeats some of the purpose. So I want to make sure you guys know that everybody can use this. Regardless of department or if they're elected, appointed, hired, whatever it might be, okay? So what I want to do is, opposed to, I'm not a huge fan of PowerPoint, so I actually want to go into your imagery and show you some examples here. So this is our cloud software. Everything is hosted in the cloud. So there's no IT footprint that you have to maintain. So this is from the 2016 capture we did. This is obviously your courthouse. This is an oblique view of the courthouse. Like I mentioned, we also have the ortho or the rooftop perspective as well, so you can rotate between the two. So if I want to rotate around the courthouse, it's as simple as just rotating around. I'm running off my MiFi right now that's firing off, so you don't need, you can carry it out into the field with you as well. We have mobile apps and whatnot. So just give you an idea of the different perspectives of every structure. I'll rotate around back to the south. So Beatrice captures our 3-inch imagery as a partner with the county. So you guys get access to all the imagery that they pay for as well. So we capture our higher res. I think they go to their 2-mile boundary, if I remember correctly. So that's as far as we capture the 3-inch. The rest of the county captures a 6-inch image, and I'll show you the differences here. And that just helps with costs. So I'll show you a difference between a 3-inch, and here is a 6-inch image. So this is a random farmstead. I thought kind of a good cross-section of what you'd find out there on a rural farmstead. The idea here is that, you know what's going on out there. You can take things off the tax rolls that have come off. You can verify measurements. I'll show you a few measurements here real quickly. The idea is to create efficiencies. You know, it's Patty, their office shouldn't have to go out and measure every single bin if they can measure it from the imagery instead of knocking on doors. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't. It just means that they don't have to necessarily. So if I zoom in tight on one of these grain bins, you'll notice that it's not quite as crisp as that 3-inch image, right? It gets a little grainy, but you can still kind of see what's going on. And if I grab my height tool, I can just measure up and get a height measurement. And then the only other thing she would need then is a diameter or a radius. So I go to a ortho perspective. get my distance tool, do a radius. Here's your radius. She can now value that bin. You know, area of a cylinder is pi times radius squared times height. So as opposed to getting in a truck and driving out there and doing what I just did, you can do it in 30 seconds. That's the idea here. We also have hooked in your GIS data. So your parcel lines and your land use and all sorts of stuff, address points that are important to the sheriff's world. So we can overlay your two-dimensional mapping data on our three-dimensional imagery so you know who lives where. You can search on it, PIN numbers, you can search on names, anything that you have available to search on, you can, depending on what's available. And then I think it's important for you guys to know, I'm sure you deal with a lot of elevation questions, flooding, water, I'm sure everybody talks about those things. I want to turn on my contours. We also embed elevation data into the imagery. So if you're ever talking about road projects or, you know, whatever it might be, I want you to make sure you guys know that you can pull in elevation data. So every pixel on the screen has an XY, a lat long, and a Z value. So you can actually start looking at elevation data. This is best available elevation data. This is not coming from us. This is, I believe, LIDAR data that the state captured for you guys. So we're roping in the best available LIDAR data. And just to give you guys an idea here, I can do a ground slope measurement. So if you ever want to do ground slopes over, and you're not going to be able to see this measurement on the screen, unfortunately, but you know, you got a 2.5% grade, an elevation difference of 26 feet, distance of 970 feet. So again, if you guys ever need this information, you can either use, you know, have someone get it to you, or you can actually show it here on a screen. And I bet, I think it's important to show you guys the accuracy of the measurements. Here in Nebraska, you can always find yourself a good football field. So I went over to Beatrice High School, just to show you kind of quick measurements. I'll zoom in kind of tight. You'll notice we got recess or something going on out there right now. Now, don't hold me to this exact. I'm trying to do it by my hands here, standing up. So let's see what we got here. You know, I grew up in Seward, and I always sort of got it. I could never be Beatrice, maybe because they're shorter people. Let's see what they got here. 300.2 feet. Okay, you guys are good. So I'm within a pixel. Measurements are over 99% accurate. We guarantee the measurements. There can be some issues if you got some out-of-date LIDAR or elevation data. You can get some wonky measurements. But at that point, we can take a look at those areas. But just to rest assured that our measurements are guaranteed to be over 99% accurate. All right, and also, last thing I want to show you guys, she mentioned change detection. I'm going to take you over to Nemaha County. They do a capture with us every other year. So what we'll do with the second capture is we're going to analyze the two image data sets against one another. So this gives the assessment office sort of a rifle approach as opposed to a shotgun approach. It also gives the planning and zoning these building outlines, so what Lisa talked about. So this is a deliverable for you guys. So what we do is you can basically say, hey, I want to look at new structures, and I want to look at, it could be taxing districts, it could be townships, whatever the county wants to use, doesn't matter to us. And you literally just go one to one, and you start looking at, okay, this building wasn't there. Do I have it? I have it. It's been measured. It's been verified. Move on to the next one. Hit next. Go to the next one. You've got PIN numbers here, so you can search your CAMA data. Here's a new one. I'm guessing, actually, this is a good one. This is a demolished building and a new structure. So they changed their house, built a new house. If you don't have it, it tells you where to go. On average, rural counties in Nebraska have about 80% to 85% of buildings went unchanged. So as opposed to spending 100% of your time on 100% of the buildings, why don't you spend 100% of your time on 20% of the buildings? Say, again, saving time and effort. So this is all part of the deliverable that we'll have in 2022, if you so choose. All automated. We'll help set all this stuff up and train, of course. That's another thing I want to mention, is all training and everything comes with this contract. No additional cost for any training after the fact. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. Okay, so Beatrice has about $25,000 of this value. Okay, so to capture the county, at 6-inch in the rural and 3-inch over Beatrice, you're looking at about $40,000 a year. They've got about 8,500, 8,600 of that coming out of Beatrice. So you guys are sitting at about, well, I've got you at about 37, but that's actually less than that. So that is the whole county, not just the county's portion. That makes sense. So that is the total amount to capture with Change Finder as well. Okay? That makes sense. So that's what we're at. And then I'll show you what Beatrice accounts for, 65 sectors of the 3-inch. And you guys have the remaining 827 sectors. That makes sense. So they've got, I'll zoom over here to the other side to show you. There's that 26 number that the city would be responsible for. Okay? With your different, you guys making up the difference. Makes sense? Okay. Now, Patty has all of this, of course. She's got this this PDF. Change Finder is built on a parcel count. You guys have, I can't remember, was it 16,000 and change parcels? That's built on a per parcel count. That's how that cost is.
That's in that 99,240 already?
That is. So the amount for, I want you guys to write these down here, or if you want to write these down. Change Finder, I've got the total value of $13,707.45. That would be the total cost, and we can build that into your annual payment as well. Let me zoom back up here to your annual cost here.
Would you repeat that cost for Change Finder?
Absolutely. $13,707.45 divided by 3, because you can pay it over 3 budget years, equals $45,69.15. That is not included in this number. So that total number, this total number, this 41, would go to $46,315.81. Make sense?
Less Beatrice.
Correct. Yep.
So we'd be looking at...
And then we can take off the 8,600 for Beatrice, yes. Yep.
So the 41,000 is without Change Finder.
That's correct.
And then it's another 13, but that's for 3 years.
That would be the total cost. You can split that by 3, because you pay that over 3 budget years. So that number would be the 45,69.15.
So if we take 8,500 out for Beatrice with Change Finder split over 3 years, we're looking at right at 37,000.
You're right. I got you 37,649. Yep, you got it. 37,649. Now, I haven't got Beatrice's final on this. Whether they want to do 3-inch or 6-inch, that doesn't matter, because your cost won't change, right? It's just going to be the difference that they pay. So you guys are 6-inch, Change Finder, those costs won't change. It's just a matter of the game.
Patty, does this allow us to reduce staff in any way to afford this? We've still got to maintain the people that we have and the appraisers.
Yeah, basically, Dan Jameson was a full-time person on staff. So we've got contracted with Daryl.
Oh, Patty, you need to speak into the mic for record.
We've got contracted with Daryl.
What was that like?
So we basically got that. I mean, we're still gonna have to go out on some things, because we have to see. I mean, this is a helpful tool, but we'll still have to go out. I had part-time with Gary Wiebe. He was doing some work for me, so that he won't come back.
What'd you do?
What? He decided to stay with the car dealership. So basically, because Dan Jameson did a lot of the outdoor work and so forth, so, and this definitely is going to be my office, but it's going to, you know, do things for other offices too, so, and I had it before, but, so.
You was with the same company before?
Mm-hmm.
Our last flyover was with Pictometry, but I think it'd be 4 years ago by the time you do it.
6 years ago.
6 years
ago
now.
16 to 22, yep.
Okay.
I paid $33,000, I think, for a three-year period over that.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So last time, it was about $33,000 a year for the county's perspective. That was 9-inch imagery, so this is going to be full in 6-inch, so it's going to be a better resolution. I forgot to mention that. I apologize.
And we'll be doing a lot of the, you know, after this stuff comes in, we'll need to look at parcels because we have to do a lot of the in-house. But this saves us time from going out in the, I mean, for one thing, the vehicle that we have now is pretty.
Nice.
Huh? Nice?
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, we got rid of a truck and then I get usually their stuff. So. There's nothing wrong with the nitro. Okay. So,
any questions for Patty or Ryan?
On a township aspect for a disaster, so could we just tell them the location and they could look it up?
Yeah, give me an example. When you say disaster, what are you thinking?
Well, like if a culvert got washed out.
Oh, sure. I see what you're saying. Yeah, so back
for
in
the FEMA purposes.
Yeah, because FEMA, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, FEMA requires documentation of what was there before the disaster, correct? Well, if the disaster happens after we capture the imagery, obviously it's going to show you what's there. And then what else do they need? You said location, like lat long?
Well, like say, if you say, just say the road.
Like a 220th Street and Anderson Road or something
yeah.
like that? Yeah, I mean, you could take a picture. I mean, I this is a bad example. I'm right. Let's go out to that rural area again. I think this elevation data, if I'm not mistaken, let me zoom in tight here. There's a culvert right here. There's clearly a culvert right there. So if you're saying if that washes out, essentially. Well, I don't know specifically what you're thinking, but there's a road. We'll see what the road names are here. And there's East Locust Road, and if you wanted to, you could even give them a specific latitude and longitude. So what I would do and what I've helped other counties do is they essentially export this image. This is the culvert that got blown out. Here's the location. Here's the road it's on. Here's the proof that it was there. And that's it. I'm guessing that's what I've been told is what they need. Now, whether or not you get payment is of another discussion. But as long as you got it in the imagery, that's what I've been told is what's necessary. So I'm not looking for any motion or anything, obviously. This is a presentation, obviously. So please, if you have questions, I'm happy to help answer. I'll let Patty know what the city says when I go meet with Doug. James is not there today, but he's instructed Doug to at least discuss on what it is they want to do. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Are you going to talk to the NRD?
They might
be interested in this.
Yeah,
too.
I work with Lower Platte South. They've worked with us. Do you have one in
Lower Big Blue is located in here.
What's
in Beatrice. Lower Big Blue.
Okay, yeah.
Office.
I don't know anybody there, but is it in town or is it
yes,
out of town?
Yes, no, it's in town here.
Yeah,
Dorsey
I'm happy
Street.
To go talk with them. Yeah.
I suggest you do.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
And now if the county purchases this, does who all can have access to that? Is that up to us?
Yeah, you guys are the gatekeeper. What we tell you is, under the license agreement, anybody at the county level and down can access this at no cost.
What about the county level and up?
Like the state?
And federal.
That's different. We'd have to have some language in there that would allow that. That doesn't usually by default happen. Most counties don't want to. Now, if you guys want to go down that road, I would have to get our contract folks involved. Usually it's county and down, you know, not state or federal. Now, we do have folks from the FBI that like to use it. We do have one-offs like that. Typically, counties don't go that way, but if you want to, I'm happy to discuss. Just take a little bit of...
Why wouldn't a county go that way?
I can't answer that. They've just chosen not to. They said they don't want to... The state doesn't help purchase it, so they don't want to share it with them. I don't know the answer to that specifically.
But we would have that option?
Possible. It wouldn't... by default, it's not written that way. I would need our attorneys to work with your county attorney.
Well, and the one reason I'm bringing it up, well, NRCS, even though it's a federal agency... it benefits this county.
Correct. Now, NRD
landowners in this county, and the landowners are paying taxes that buys this.
Yep.
So, if the NRCS can have availability to this, it would be helpful to the county.
I agree with you on that. That was a little bit different because the NRD has a levy, right? They have a levy that's levied against the Gage County, as opposed to the Department of Defense or something like that. So NRDs are a little bit, they are different.
Well, NRCS is federal. There's two. That's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Then there's the Natural Resources Districts. But they work in, they're kind of like sister agencies. They work in partnership for the benefit of each county that they, well, like the NRD is Saline County and part of Pawnee County.
I haven't worked with the NRCS. I've worked with the NRDs. I've never worked with an NRCS yet. So I'd have to.
Well, I think that's something. An NRD, if the NRD chooses to do something, whether it can use it, they, I think, I mean, they hire employees for NRCS.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Where and is your? Where's the NRCS office? The closest one? Is it here in town?
Yes.
It is. They're both here in town.
Yes. Okay. It's out by the high school.
And you said it's a federal. That's a federal entity.
Yes.
NRCS is, whereas in the NRD is a state entity?
Right.
Correct? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, subdivision of the state.
Subdivision of the state, yep. So NRDs are not a problem. That has been vetted through, again, I work with Lower Platte South, Papio, oh, the one up in Dodge County. I can't remember. Papio South. I can't remember which one that one's called. I apologize. But, yeah, those aren't an issue. NRCS, I'm not familiar with them.
I don't know that NRD would be considered above a county. They may be considered on a level. We're both subdivisions of the state, so is the county.
And I might have been a little bit generalizing there. When I was state, I was thinking like the State Department of Revenue. I was thinking more of that level, not necessarily at that more local level where it is like an NRD.
Yeah, right.
I was thinking more of like,
sure, you know, but that's things. Why I explained
it. Yeah, that makes sense. So NRDs aren't an issue. If you want me to look at the NRCS, I'd be happy to and have my boss vet on what kind of entity it is. I'm just not at that pay grade. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it if you would look into that, and that's why I ask. Because
and what's the name of this NRCS that's down here?
Natural Resources.
Oh, it doesn't have a name, though, like Lower Platte South NRCS?
Not Natural Resources Conservation. I mean, that is the name.
Gotcha.
And they're located, it's called the Farm Service Agency is what it is. It's the service center.
Yep. Sounds good. Do you know anybody over there?
Kelly Evans is the district conservationist.
Kelly?
At NRCS.
Kelly Evans.
Appreciate Dave that. Claybaugh is the manager at the NRD.
Dave Claybaugh? C-L-A...
B-A-U-G-H.
Correct.
Just the other side of this, just my question. I have a free app on my phone that I use to measure like fences and stuff. If I gotta purchase stuff to replace it, and it's accurate. Like I can go take a tape out there later, and it's exactly what it is, and it's a free app on my phone. So how does? I don't
know. I'm sorry. What's the name of the app?
I can tell you.
Yeah.
It's a free app.
On the 3 years for the change finder,
yep.
It's 41,000. Well, let me back up. For single year, it's 41,700 for the pictometry, and then additional for the change finder. Now you can choose. We can choose to do 1 year at a time. Is that correct?
You can pay for it over 3 budget years. All this can be paid for over 3 budget years. So you take the total amount and essentially just divide it by 3.
Even though you only get it for one,
that's correct. It's one project. That
okay,
can be split
so the 41,000 could be spread out over 3 years.
That's correct. No. The whole project is so the 37,649 that would be the county's. That would be the annual cost for 3 years.
It's fields area map is what it's
annual
called.
Cost for. So that's
for 3 years.
And it's a 3-year contract then?
Yeah, this would be, we allow for it to be paid over 3 budget years, yes.
Well, you allow it to be paid over 3 budget years, but is it a single 1 year?
Correct, yes.
It's 37,000 a year. And then you pay it each year for 3 years.
Yep. And then you get the, we would capture in 2022, spring of 22, and then that could be paid over 3 budget years. Correct.
But then at that point, we could choose not to do 2023.
Well, you wouldn't do anything until 2025 or maybe 20
okay,
later.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I'm...
Yep, yeah.
You maybe that was said, but I just wanted to be clear that you wouldn't do it for another 4
5 or 6 years in this case.
Okay, so, but Don, it's just spread out over 3 years.
That's correct.
Okay. You're paying $111,000. You're spreading it over 3 years.
Correct.
Yeah. And you fly it one time.
So it's $111,000
for one flight.
And the $41,000 is the
one-third of that amount.
One-third of that amount. Okay.
Got it. Yeah. Correct. And then you wouldn't have to do any. You would never have to do anything again if you didn't want to. That's up to you guys.
Okay, Patty.
Okay, so let me explain. This is not only for my office. This is, if we wanted to divide this up like they do in Lancaster or any place else, I'm willing to put it in my budget because of the time crunch before we have to have September, you know, you have to have everything done by September 20th. In other counties, emergency management contributes, sheriff's office contribute, I contribute. So we're kind of, I am going to be an office that uses it a lot as an added tool, but mine may only be $20,000 if you really wanted to be honest. So I don't want you to only think that I'm the one that's only going to use it. You know, I think Doug, possibly, you know, if he has a call, if they look into a backyard and see there's a fence and a playground set there, he's going to know there could be children in the house if he has to go in with, you know, or something like that. So Doug and Gus and those guys were really interested in it when we did it in 16. So if you took it, I mean, you're kind of looking at it like this is all mine. And
what comes out of your budget?
I could split it all up. I'm just not being that way. And when I said that, it doesn't matter because at this point I've given her. What I'm saying is other offices, I don't know, highway department, can you use it? Is it going to be very beneficial for you? Lisa, can you use it? So if you're just going gearing to me and saying, okay, well, you can get rid of an employee, we still have things to do. And even after they do this, we're going to have to go in, find those buildings. There's desk work that's going to be done. What's going to save me is time on the road, you know.
There is some part-time hours, Patty, that you're probably not.
We're not going to use again. Yeah.
There's some part-time hours you're saving.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to, and plus, I don't need a vehicle. And quite honestly, right now, if I was going out, there would probably be two of us girls that would go out together. I mean, in the country, in the rural area. We had an incident the other day that was unpleasant, you know, and I was just with Daryl. And I'm just saying that that would be pretty hard not to send maybe two at a time if you're in the rural area. I mean, things get a little bit bitey out there, and that's the rural world now. And so, but I don't want you to think that the $45,000 is just, or whatever, that $37,000 is all me. I'm going to use it a lot. I don't know if Don can, you know, tax voting districts. I don't know if anything with that. She may not use it at that much, but I definitely think you guys will.
Ratings on bridges. I just pulled up the assessor site, went to roads, went to a bridge, and I found the load rating right then and there off the 2016 Victorial. So
the load rating is...
It's there.
So that's what I was afraid I was going to get myself into when I said, yeah, you can put it all in my budget, but understand that I'm only using a fraction of it. And, you know, Lisa was very on board. I went and talked to her. When we did this back in 16, it took me a little bit to be sold on it. But once I went to a seminar in Omaha, all the counties around here are doing it. The technology going forward, I think our county's big enough that we need this type of technology. You know, and I'm not probably going to be around much longer, and my goal is to leave the county in pretty good shape as far as, you know, we're all getting to the age where, and I don't know
Sometimes
if Roger can use anything.
We got two new board members that didn't go through this. How much do you actually use it, and Doug could answer that, and Lisa, over the past 4 years?
How much did we use this?
Yeah. I mean, how useful?
We're using it every day.
Okay.
I mean, we're using it every day. The biggest thing with me now is from the 2016 imagery to 2021, we're going to have a lot of things that have changed, you know, with the change finder. That was my choice to put that on and added because 4,500 over a year you know, and then a 3-year period. But I never thought about getting myself into a situation when I put it all in my budget that it looks like I'm the only office that's using it, because I think Lisa will be using it a lot, and I think the road department, and just for going forward, you know.
I don't know how we divided up budget-wise, though. I think we need to have an idea.
And that's why I said, but just so that you can explain to the public that I'm not like, okay, she wants $45,000. There's a lot of
You're the one use. Raising her taxes. Why should we explain
I know.
It to
well,
them?
Yeah. I'm the hurricane. No, I got big shoulders.
Available for other engineering firms or developers to use?
Well, that's where, you know, there's some things about some of those things that a lot of our information is used for a lot of things in the private sector, and it's all public record. But there's a lot of, and, you know, it's legit. I mean, I can do, they can have my whole what do you call it, your tax rolls, anything. Somebody can request that, and we have to give it to them. And all we can charge is the request is for the time that it takes us to put it in a document.
Well, I think, you know, if
I mean
if
appraisers
the county has it, but I do feel like if there's any way we can reduce our cost, and I don't know if that's possible to get. Well, if Beatrice does theirs, that will help reduce our cost.
That's where it started.
I don't know if now, like NRD would. That's a local board. They'd make a decision if there's. They may say, well, county's going to do it anyway. We don't need to, but.
Now, and that's something we talked about. Even at one point, the schools for active, you know, but that kind of went away back when we first looked into it. The overlays of the schools was kind of important for safety purposes, where we knew where every door, window, you know, and things may be. But I didn't think about getting myself into a situation where Patty wants $45,000 to use it only for her office. That's not the case. And
yeah.
I want the media and everybody to realize
that. There's businesses that would be interested in that. I mean, is that a possibility? Online whether they can use it like Google Earth or?
Who's they?
Well, say like a commercial chemical application, farm, ag business.
Yep.
They want to look at the fields. They want to go out. They want to look.
There's your public website right there, the imagery in your public website.
So that's available, which NRCS could use.
Sure. Yep, anybody in the public, that's why you guys have a public-facing website hosted through G-Works. That's our imagery in your G-Works website, yep. So anybody in the world could access the imagery, yes.
And I will tell you, if you call NRCS, there's no local authority there. It just, they would, if they had availability to it, they may use it. The engineers with NRCS, if they're looking, and they oftentimes it's cooperation with the NRD, if they're looking at building a dam or something,
I would go take them the hard drive right now if you guys gave me the go-ahead. We don't care about how you
So talking to Kelly.
When I'm talking about access.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that online access that I showed you where all the measurement tools are. We don't want that to get into the hands of the wrong people, where you could start planning something against a school by, it's this far that way. So the measurement tools on the oblique imagery, that's the only thing that the public can't access. Because we don't want that to get to the wrong people. But all the
imagery. We allow access?
To the public?
Well, let's just say to a private engineering firm that may
ask
permission.
Yeah, you can.
There is measurements on there.
Yeah.
They're within 5 feet.
Right, on the ortho.
Yeah.
Yep, we're not
there
worried
is
about
measurements
it.
On here.
Yep. On the ortho.
Yeah.
Just not on the old.
Although NRCS, like, they already have the LIDAR information, so I don't know if they would use, but this would be more accurate.
It depends if they have the imagery, right? The LIDAR data is publicly available that the state captured. Certainly didn't come from us. It's the imagery that we provide.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And if I'm not
already access via your website. But again, if you gave me the go-ahead now to go take your delivered hard drive with the imagery over to the NRCS to give it to them, I wouldn't care. I would do that. I'd do that today. We're not concerned about that kind of access. We're concerned about the access to the three-dimensional imagery with the measurements on them that we don't want. There's a lot of intellectual property that's built into it, and there's a chance that someone could use it for nefarious purposes, like planning something against a school that we don't want the public to have access to.
Well, that
the
makes
ortho imagery. We have
that
to protect
makes sense,
our intellectual
but I,
property.
I'm obviously. Just, you know, for legitimate.
Yep.
Purposes, people, an engineer walks in and asks.
You could give them the imagery. That hard drive with the imagery on it, that could be theirs. That ortho base map can be theirs.
We'd have that. That'd be our decision then.
You could sell it if you wanted to. The ortho imagery is a commodity. There are a lot of counties, that, there are a lot of companies that do ortho or rooftop imagery. The intellectual property that we've developed is the ability to measure on an oblique image, and we don't want that out to the public so someone could reverse engineer it. That's our intellectual property that we protect very, very tightly. So that is what cannot be exposed to the public. You can expose the oblique imagery to the public, but not with the measurement capabilities.
See, so, FSA would have a, well, it wouldn't, it'd be just the 1 year. They wouldn't, they have their own method.
Correct.
But I'm
okay, we need to wrap it up.
I'm personally in a business where I design conservation practices and measure acres and use Google Earth and so forth.
Use all the imagery that you have available to you. I tell people that all the time. It's just not authoritative, right? You don't know a date. You have no control over when it's captured. But use all the imagery you have, whether it's ours or not.
Hey, Patty, you had a comment.
Well, the only thing I'm saying is, so the road department would definitely, I mean, like I said, I don't know, Roger, if that was like, you know, with the 45 in my budget or the, not 45, 37, is that?
Well, you can gain hydrologic data.
I'm just saying, me putting it completely in my budget. I mean, I just want to make people aware that that's going to be something that I'm going to really use. But,
noted.
I know, but I'm just trying to get that across because I didn't think I was going to run into it.
Show one more thing to show you.
Trying, I know. Make sure you note that.
So, Eagle View, if you want the public to access the oblique imagery, G-Works has a widget built in, an Eagle View widget that you guys can implement if you so choose. That allows anybody in the public. This is just a public website to not only look at the ortho base map as I showed you before, but there's your oblique imagery. If you want the public to have access to the oblique imagery, you can. It just doesn't have the measurement tools. This is Buffalo County's public-facing website. So again, I want to be clear. You can share this with whomever you want through your. This is already public-facing, right? You can do whatever you want with this. It's just the internal measurement capabilities that we don't want out to the public.
Right, and the assessor's office will control that.
Yeah, the county. You guys are the gatekeeper. We don't tell who can have access.
Right.
We just tell you that you can't go out to the public.
Right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, Daddy.
Appreciate your presentation.
Pat, Gary? Patty, we can have discussion, too, going into years two and three. We can look at, you know, if it needs to be separated out and spread around between everybody. If you're doing it in a hurry this year and you're keeping it under your budget and you're good with that, everybody understands that it's for the benefit of the whole county. It's not for the benefit of the assessors. We understand that.
Like with Emily, you know.
Come forward, Patty.
That a measure that we could, you know, that it was
me measuring. I just want to make sure that, you know, the other office is really filled that this is a big need, and that's where I was at, and. That's what I mean. Want to make clear. I mean,
I think you understand that
because everybody's going, oh, I'll look at her budget or whatever. So,
and Ryan came and gave you the quick version of this. You know, the very first time we did it in the public library, and shoot, I want to say that meeting went 2.5 hours that night.
There's a lot of discussion.
So.
Obviously, I didn't want to take 2 hours of your time. Now I'm pushing.
Thank you.
Yeah, but well, yes, there's a lot. Obviously, a lot more. Yeah, I appreciate it.
We'll deduct it from your fees.
Absolutely, I'll give you my boss's name and everything. It's cool.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Are there anything else there?
Well, and then one thing that I did ask Ryan is, I would prefer a fly over in the fall if possible.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't matter to us when you do it.
The sooner for me, the better. As far as
after a foot of snow.
No, God, no.
When the leaves are completely off the trees. But most of your flyoffs are in the spring, so.
Yeah, we don't care when you guys fly. It's up to you guys.
Okay, thank you, Patty, and thank you for your presentation.
No,
I appreciate
it
very
much. I'll
be as
much as I can clean it up, I promise.
Anything else on that or anything else, Patty? Okay, we'll wrap up the discussion on the pictometry, and you'll bring back to us what we want to do if we have a contract. Okay. Anything else? Any other business to come before the county board? If not, we would adjourn at 10. 6:35 a.m. So we are adjourned.